All right, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to continue our thought from this whole thought of God, of Jesus being called Mighty God, Mighty Warrior God, who comes, as we saw last week, to fight our battles. He goes before us, Scripture says. And so we have this another story here from Scripture that is powerful. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1, and I'm just going to not read it because it's 30 verses, but I'm just going to kind of walk you through this whole thought. Now, I just want to tell you that whatever battle you're facing right now, whatever's going on in your life, in your heart, if you have Jesus in your heart, you have Mighty God in your life. And he does. He's fighting that battle. Matter of fact, he's already won that battle 2,000 years ago at the cross. He's already done his work. He's already completed it. Saw it 2 weeks ago when Jesus said, "It's finished. It's done." It's this shout out that says, "The battle's over. It's over. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. He has done these things for you and me 2,000 years later." And every person in between that moment that he said it's finished and he conquered death at the grave, he did that for you and me. But yet we still have the battle. You're going through battles right now. And it's hard. And I just want you to know that battles have come, battles will come now, and battles will continue to come the rest of our lives. There's always a fight. But I want you to know something. It's not your fight. It's his fight. It is his fight. And I want to show you from this Old Testament passage how powerful and what that truly does mean. Now, chapter 20, verse 1, it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Now, he's king of Judah, okay? This is the king. I mean, he is the leader. He's the military leader. He is king. And so it's coming that what happens is there's these three nations coming, okay? Now, I want you to know something. They're coming to conquer, and they're coming to stay. Three nations against God's people. And the Bible says, some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram. And behold, they're already in Hazon Tamar. They're already in Gedi. They're close." And Jehoshaphat was afraid, turned his attention to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast through Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Maybe your battle today is a trial that you're going through right now. Maybe something's going on with your son, your daughter. Maybe they're walking in unbelief. Maybe there's an addiction problem. Maybe they're just chasing after the wind and chasing after the world. It's a battle for a parent. It's a battle for a mama. It's a battle for a daddy. Maybe you're facing some kind of illness, some kind of diagnosis that they're not even certain of. Maybe you've been sick. Maybe you've been struggling, and it's just been a battle. Maybe you're in some kind of temptation, a temptation for your life. Maybe it's a battle that's a temptation over maybe you've been hurt or disappointed, And the enemy wants to come and put something in your life so that you're walking in anger and you're walking in bitterness because of the betrayal or because of something done to you or done to your kids or done to your husband, done to your wife. It may be something like a job issue, a boss issue. It may be something going on, and I'm just going to tell you, there's two things about the trial. It'll either make you worse or it'll make you better. And the Lord knows there's a lot of times we've gone through trials and we didn't respond right, and we didn't fight the battle right, and we came out of the other side devastated. But then God comes along and says, listen, I've come to equip you. I've come, whatever's happening in your life right now, no matter how far you feel that you're from God, no matter how far you feel that God hasn't answered your prayers, that this God says, I fought the battle at the cross and I'll fight it right now in your heart to win. Will you let me do that? Will you allow me by just a simple act of your faith and by a simple faith that he comes to do this work, to allow the Lord to come and give you the victory? Listen to me, even before the trial is over, giving you the victory before the trial is over. Question, I want a show of hands. How many of you are going through some kind of battle today? Raise your hands. Keep it up, keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. I want you to, this group to look over here with your hands still up, and I want this group to look over there, okay? Some of you are not in a battle, but look at these. We're in a battle. The question is, will I walk in fear and anxiety, or will I take the fear and the initial discomfort and do what Jehoshaphat did and sought his attention to the Lord? What he did was he got his eyes off this problem and off this fear, and all of a sudden he does what? He does something so remarkable in the fear. I mean, there's three nations coming to conquer the people of God, and he's the leader. It's his watch. And what he does is he doesn't walk in all this anxiety. Yeah, there's a fear here, but this fear is moving him to what? To seek the attention of the Lord. And I want to ask you, have you sought the attention of the Lord? Have you given your attention to the Lord in the battle that you're walking in right now? Or have you taken the trial, or have you faced the trial, and instead of seeking the Lord, you've gotten something in your heart? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's anxiety. And then that fear and that worry and that anxiety will bring you to places you don't want to go. It sometimes will bring you to an idleness. It sometimes will bring you to a standstill. Sometimes that fear will bring you to more and more sin, because suddenly I got a self-directed thing going on instead of a God-directed thing going on. And from God's perspective, it's God-directed. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have gone through a battle, you sought the attention of the Lord, and God came through? Amen. So if you've just raised your hand for a second time, you're going through a battle, you've been through a battle, you can look back and say, oh my, he was with me then, he is with me today. Amen? Now let me tell you what's happening with my algorithm and I'm getting all kinds of things about last day stuff. Are y'all? About last day, second coming, he's coming, trials, people rejecting, people coming after Christians, right? And that's happening in the world, right? It is, it's coming. But I want to tell you about last days. I'm going to tell you what I believe about last days. It's what Jesus said about last days. Behold, I'm with you even to the last days. Amen? His presence of God. Hey, that's my eschatology for right now, okay? He's with you today. So quit worrying about tomorrow. Because when tomorrow comes, it'll be today, and he's going to be with you. The question is will I tap into it with faith? Will I move into the presence of God and seek his attention like this Old Testament king did, like the king of Judah did? He decided to turn his attention to the Lord. If he turns his attention to the flesh or to what might happen, he's done until he turns his attention to the Lord. Now, I love this response, because this is what he does immediately. It's what he does immediately. He seeks the Lord. He proclaims a fast throughout all Judah. Now watch. And they all gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. Now, I was going to say this. Let me tell you about this battle. Battle has already been won. But your battle's not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle for the soul. Scripture says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life. He says, your enemy, Satan, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to destroy and devour. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, he's always scheming, he's always lying, he's always accusing, he's always tempting, he's always wanting to destroy you. Now, granted, he uses people, so he does his work, just like God uses his people to do his work. But ultimately, the enemy's done. Well, I believe that and walk in the principles that God has for us in this passage, in last week's passage, to follow mighty God, who we're following in the battle, who wins our battles every time. So the first thing we do is we turn our attention to seek the Lord. Now, this is the best thing that I can say, just a question. When I'm in the battle, when I've got this temptation, when I've got this trial, when I've got this hardship, when I've got this threat, just like they have this threat. When I turn my attention to seek the Lord, this is what I'm going to ask. God, what do you have to say about it? What do you have to say about this trial? I want to hear you. I want to hear your word. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm not interested in what the world has to say, because the world will lead me astray, just like it's done before. I want to know what you have to say. Second question. God, what are you doing? What are you up to? If I can just have that kind of attitude in the trial, in the battle, God, what are you up to? I can't wait to see, because you're always at work. Let me ask you, do you believe that God's always at work? He's always at work. He's never stopped working in your life. And so instead of walking in fear, worry, anxiety, I want to ask the question, God, what are you up to? What are you saying? I want to hear what you have to say. This is what it means to turn your attention to the Lord. This is what it means to come and to say, God, this is what my heart is saying. I'm afraid right now. I'm struggling right now. I'm hitting this trial and it is hard. I'm hitting this battle. But Lord, you're mighty God. And you said you've gone before me. And so what does he do? He prays. How novel. Pray. Can't tell you how many times I've asked somebody, well, have you prayed about it? And they said, well, no, I haven't prayed about it. I've just worried about it. I mean, I've got here and there when I've said something to God, but I've not prayed about it. Why haven't you prayed about it? This is what it means to turn your attention to seek the Lord. I want you to notice the prayer. Jehoshaphat, he stands in the assembly. Verse 5, in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court. And he said, oh, Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. What is he doing? He's praising God. That's what he's doing. He's worshiping God. He's telling God back what God's already told him, that God is great, that God has this, that he is in the heavens, that he's ruler over the nations, and power and might is in his hand. Do I believe that today? Do I act like that today? Good question, right? I believe it, but am I acting like it? Am I living like it? He is making this confession. He is saying, God, you are Lord, you are ruler, you are God, mighty God. These three things coming after me, they're not mighty God. The thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he's not mighty God. What, the scripture says, can man do to me? This is the posture, folks. This is the posture. It's a posture of worship. I'm going to declare who you are, because you've told me who you are through the word and through the experience in the word. This is a powerful point. Listen, praise, giving thanks, I'm just telling you, destroys the enemy. If he can get your mind off the enemy and quit praising, and quit following, and quit doing what you know you need to do as a man or a woman of God, to show that as an example to your sons and your daughters, where you're not talking fear, you're talking faith. confidence. Why? Because this is our great God. I make the confession. This is what I'm doing when I'm seeking the attention of our great God. I want you to notice the second thing in verse 6. Seven. Did you not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and you gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They've lived in it. We built you a sanctuary. It's for your name. And we said, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and we will cry to you in our distress, watch, and you will hear and deliver us. Wow. What is this? It's not a demand. It's an appeal. Lord, you're great. You did this for us. We built a house for you according to your plan, and we're just speaking back what you've said to me. Your name dwells in this house. Your name dwells in this presence. And look, we're saying it. This is our commitment. If the sword, okay, judgment, pestilence, famine, any trial, anything coming against us, we're going to gather. We're going to gather in your name, and we're going to cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time in your trial you did and said something like this? He is crying out to God. He is knowing that he can do nothing apart from his great God. That's what he's saying. We need you. We need you. And so notice what he says, verse 10. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and didn't destroy them. He said, see how they're rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given to us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude, his coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Have you ever thought, I don't know what to do? Have you ever thought that? Come on, yeah. Yes. Not one time, right? No, I said it a lot. I don't know what to do here. What do I do? Call Mike. What do I do? I don't know. Listen, I love this. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Let me tell you, when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. What is that? You turn your eyes to him. That's what you do. That's the position. The position of God, I want a word from you. I want to know what you're doing, and I want to know what you're saying. When's the last time you asked that in the trial? When's the last time? How long did it take? All the fretting, a day, two, three days, a month, 2 months, before you hear something like this, or you pull something out of the air from the internet or whatever to say, listen, this is our go-to, amen. This is our go-to. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. Our eyes are on Jesus. And folks, I want to tell you, you do that for a couple of things. You got to be in your Bible. You got to be in your Word. You got to say what God says. We said this Wednesday night. If you weren't here Wednesday night, you didn't watch it, go online. This is on the power of confession. And confession is a word. It's two words. It just says same word, okay? Saying the same word that God says. This is inspired word of God. You believe that today? On your Bible, it's inspired. God breathed. And God wants to take even the stories, not just the instruction, but take the stories and instruct us so he can take that from then and bring it to now, to your battle, to your famine, to your pestilence, to your battle. And I'm just telling you, when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. We turn our eyes on him. Now I want you to see this next verse. I love this verse. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants and their wives and their children. Do you catch this? They're all together. They're holding them. Children, the 12-year-old, the 10-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 3-year-old, all standing there. They're holding babies. Heck, the 13-year-old, she's holding a baby too. What are they doing? They're being still before God, and they're wanting to hear a word. What are you up to? What are you doing? What do you say? And then they wait. I like this because in our kind of culture, we want to hear God pretty quick, and you know what? That's what he does. Right here, he's quick. We turn our attention to seek the Lord. We cry out for deliverance, and we confess that we're powerless, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And then we're going to listen for him, for that word, and we're going to trust him when it comes. That's what they're doing. They're waiting for the Lord. I'm going to tell you, in the stillness and in the moment of the stillness, they're not doing anything except putting their eyes on Jesus. We have a problem with that because we get so distracted. We'll get our eyes on Jesus for what? 3 minutes? 3 minutes? Look, you know I can't stand still, right? You know that about me? Can't stand still. You know that about me. And that's me. And I got to work. 3 minutes? 3 minutes in the Word? Now, let me tell you, sometimes it may just take 3 minutes. But sometimes it may take 3 hours. Sometimes it may just take 6 months of study to be ready for the next deal that's coming. See, my prayer for our church and prayer for you as we look at who mighty God is and that he promises this victory because he's already won it is that you go home and you study this. You talk about it. You find something that I didn't say. You find something that God wants to tell you and move in your situation right now, right here. Because I want to tell you, God wants to speak into it. He wants to speak into your mess, your growth, your victory. He wants to speak into it. And that's what they're doing. We're listening for the word of God. And we sit still, we stand still, and we're going to trust that God is going to speak. And then notice what happens in verse 14. The word comes. There's a guy named Jehaziel. God answers the prayer through Jehaziel. Look at verse 14. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matanah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you." Watch. "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Amen. It's not your fight. It's not your fight. It's his fight. How he chooses to do his fight may be different. It's certainly different here. It's certainly different from last week when the sea opened and they walked right through on dry ground. Listen, the battle's not yours. It's God's. Let me tell you, that happened to me once, twice. A number of years ago, going through some heavy stuff here, heavy stuff in our lives. And I wanted to hear a word from God on it. So I came in here in that foyer and I sat down and I said, "God, I'm not leaving here till I have a word from you. I just want to know what to do. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." And you know, I like to record things, so I opened my journal, looked at my watch, said 5 minutes, wrote down 5 minutes, nothing. You see it, it's kind of crazy. 10 minutes, 50 minutes, nothing. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving until I have a word. 25 minutes goes by, nothing. 30 minutes goes by, nothing. 45 minutes goes down, nothing. 50 minutes, 55. And then on the 58th minute, it's in my journal. I'd say it's not your battle. You don't have to do anything on this one. You don't have to counsel. You pray, but I've already got this. In the meantime, I'd called a friend, and I said, I got his voicemail. I said, "Hey, I just need a word today." Didn't say anything else. Just whatever is on your mind. Okay. Well, I'm just going to tell you, because I'm a guy that likes to move a lot. At the 58th minute, he told me, close that journal, got out, and went back to my visitations with the confidence that this is not my fight. I'm not going to have to counsel. I'm not going to have to do anything in this fight. I'm going to watch God work, because this is what's going to happen here in just the next moment. It's not your battle. It's not your fight. Quit acting like it's your fight. Quit acting like you got to control it, that you got to fix it, that you got to do it. No, you stand before God and you watch. I'm just telling you, I'm happy as a lark. I just got peace all over me, because I know I heard from God. It was out of this passage. I wasn't reading it, but this was the passage. I get in my car. It's about 11 in the morning. My friend calls at 2. I can't take it. I'm in an appointment. Leaves a message. "Mike, I guess the word for you is it's not your fight." Went, oh my gosh. It's not your fight. And he said something really significant to me that I've held on to. He said, "God, your heavenly dad, knows exactly what you need. Now just ask him, what do you want him to do for you?" I thought, what a word. Because we got this thing that says, you don't ask God what you want, you ask God for what you need. Well, the Bible says he gives you the desires of your heart. What's that? What's the desire of your heart? Let me ask you, those of us who've had good dads, our good dads, they know how to give good gifts, right? They just do. And they're evil. Or that's what Jesus says. They know how to give good gifts. How much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask? And you know what he says on another? He doesn't just give good gifts. He gives the Holy Spirit to you. Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to give you direction. Whether it's a financial difficulty, a marital difficulty, a family difficulty, whether it's just something that you know you're supposed to be, but it hasn't all worked out yet, and you're struggling with it because you're in the third month, or it's just whatever it is, because we all know what it is in our own life right now, right here. And when I think about this, he says, it's not your fight. It's not your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Now notice, does that mean I don't do anything? No, watch, verse 16. "Tomorrow, go down against them." Wait, I thought it was the battles. Well, wait. "Behold, they're going to come up by the ascent of Ziz." I'm going to tell you exactly where they're going to be. "You're going to find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. Watch, you need not fight in this battle. I want you to station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf." Listen, somebody needs to hear this today. You're fretting, you're moving from one thing to the other, and you fret here and fret that, and he's saying, listen, he says, this may be the word for you. I'm not saying it's for everybody in this specific trial you're going through. You need not fight in this battle. Just station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Oh, Judah, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. You go. Don't be dismayed. It's not your fight. God is with you, but you still have to go face it. We're not hiding our head in the sand. We're not hiding under the covers. We're not hiding under the blankets. We're not in the safe room. We're facing it. We're facing the trial with our eyes on him. He is saying to them, just stand and watch. Stand and watch. It's interesting. Verse 18 says, "Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord," watch, "worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of heaven," watch, "with a very loud voice." Now I'm going to tell you this, they're already singing praise of victory. This is not lament. This is not a praise of a hardship. They know it's done. Because if Jehaziel is wrong, he's going to get stoned. And Jehaziel's never been wrong. He's a prophet of God. They heard the word from this prophet, and they believed it. And so what do? They worshiped. They worshiped God. I'm telling you, there's power in worshiping God in the moment that some kind of news comes. There's power in confessing him as Lord. There's power in thanking him in all things. No matter what it is, no matter what's the problem, whatever's the trial. Because I'm going to tell you, praising God and thanking him is a whole lot better than complaining and getting angry and getting mad. Hey, let me ask you, have you ever gotten angry at something? Did it work for you? No, it didn't work for you. It made it worse. Matter of fact, it defiled my wife, defiled my husband, defiled my kids, it defiled my grandkids, defiled my workers, the people who work for me, and the people that I work for. It's defiled. What they do is they worship with a loud voice. Now watch. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat, this is what he says, this king says, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." It's almost like, I've been thinking about this all night. We're up in the morning. I'm your king. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. Put your trust in his word, and you will succeed. And when he consulted with the people, this is what he did. He pointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is for everlasting." Now watch, verse 22. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. Because the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and destroyed them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. I think that's kind of comic. They helped destroy one another while they worshiped and watched God work. And what a great strategy. What a great word. For whatever battle is coming your way, whatever battle you're in, and I'm just telling you, when they come, look at verse 24, they come to the lookout of the wilderness, they look toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among, including goods and garments and valuable things, and they took them from themselves, more than they could carry. And watch, and it took them 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. This valley became known as the Valley of Baraka, the Valley of Blessing. And it all began with the enemy of God coming against God's people. I want to say this. If the enemy of God comes against you and you face it in the strength of the Lord, you're going to come not to a battleground of curse, but a battleground of blessing. Baraka. Valley of the Blessing. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Lord knows that in our flesh, the way we would treat a trial, we don't find blessing because we've not acted God's way. We acted man's way. And I just want to just say to you right now, I'm asking you right now to identify your battle right now. Doesn't take long. You know what that battle is. I want you just to name it right now. Just name it. Name the battle. What are the areas of my life that I must trust the Lord? What about your marriage? Well, God gives you instruction about your marriage. You're struggling in your marriage? What do, men? You love your wife like Christ loved the church. You live with her in an understanding way. You honor her. What do, wives, when your marriage is struggling? You be to your husband as you are to the Lord. You respect your husband. You love him affectionately. It's all there. Tells you what to do in the middle of a trial. Or not even when you're in the trial. You just do that. In the area of your children. And I'm just going to tell you, there's really just a really powerful word about the battle with our children. We make sure we don't provoke them to anger, but we're raising them in the ways of the Lord. Or our church family and friends. How do I move through that? I serve with sincere love. And what about the world? How do I respond to the world? We love the world. For God so loved the world. And we get in on that. We get to be a part of that. And so as a church, we send and we go and we tell. What about our enemies and persecutors? I'm persecuted. I'm enemy. What do? I love them. I pray for them. Or our trials, I'll trust that God is working them all out for the glory of God. Or our finances, if they're hard, what do? I give my first and I give my best with joy. I'm generous. In our service, we employ the gifts God's given us with the strength God supplies. What I love about this passage is that we get to enjoy the spiritual spoils of victory, like joy and peace and provision and victory and grace and mercy. Folks, the battle belongs to the Lord. It's His fight. Will you hear that today and stand aside and watch God? When I stand, the Bible says, I stand on the truth. It's the weapon of God. It's the belt of truth. I have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Lord, and the shield of faith. That's your armor. That's how you do battle. And I pray that today you'll face the battle in that heavenly armor, in that faith that you know that God comes to overcome, because He is our mighty God, our warrior God, who fights our battles. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you create in us a faith to believe passages like this, that we look at it way back then and bring it to right now, right here, to do some of the same things these saints did for the glory of God. I pray more than anything, though, that when we listen to your word, and you listen, and we listen, and you give us a word about our circumstance, about our battle, that we will stand on the promises of God and watch you work. That's how we'll obey. That's how we'll move. That's how we'll enter the land. And I pray, Father, that you would bless this word and let it not return void, but accomplish for every single person in this place and every single person that's watching today. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.